Everybody, welcome to Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. My name is Jay.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome to the show, the return of Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and a new member, Nick Dunn. The last shows that we did were in 2012, and then we hung up our podcasting mics for the Game of Thrones show because we just couldn't keep up with the immense complexities that is Game of Thrones. That's why we have brought in an outside hire, an expert, to kind of bring us back into the fold of Game of Thrones and to talk about Game of Thrones. We're still idiots, but we have a smart, smart individual joining the show that I think will add a great element to it. Welcome, Nick, to the show.
Woo, thank you. I don't know about expert, but I'll try.
Listen, you the names you're kind of going off starting as we prep for this show already let me know that you were the right pick.
Yes. Who's that guy?
Baldy, that's what.
Oh, yeah, bald guy. Yeah.
Bald guy. I know bald guy.
Dragon lady, girl with a sword. Yeah, got you.
Perfect. People might know Nick. I mean, a good friend of ours, kind of part of our posse, part of our crew. Is we say entourage for Comic-Con? Yeah. Entourage?
Or mob wife. Go ahead.
I think celebrity stalker is better, don't you think?
Yeah. I prefer the mob wife scenario.
That is true. That is true. There's Nick has no shame when it comes to meeting celebrities. So we try to hang out with Nick because if we do, chances are we'll probably meet some famous people. But he does all the dirty work and we get just to enjoy the benefits.
Is he like the celebrity whisperer? He just waves his hands and just they just follow him. It's amazing.
Yeah. This is like a Sunday, you know, hanging out with David Crosby.
Yeah, you said
that. What was that about?
I got introduced to him a year ago.
I remember that. And you sung with him, like play guitar and sung with him.
Yeah. And then he played a solo acoustic show Sunday by himself in Santa Barbara. And I heard about it. So I was like, oh, I've got to go. You know, and I just showed up a few hours early and he was eating lunch just by himself. And he saw me and I was like, hey, Dave. And he's like, hey, you know, and he remembered me. And we just sat there and just chatted for an hour before the show. And then hung out a little bit afterwards and you know, he told me he hoped to see me later. And, you know, he's just a really nice down to earth guy. So you
got to hang out with him and I get to hang out with Jay.
Yeah, I will. You know,
it almost seems fair.
They both have legendary hair, that's for sure.
So. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, to say that you're hanging out with one-third or one-fourth of one of the greatest bands of all time, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's one of my heroes. So it's definitely one of the highlights of my life so far. So,
not yeah, hanging out with us, that's not a highlight at all?
Oh, I said one of them. Okay.
Nice save. Yeah. You haven't run into Evangeline Lilly lately? No?
Not since Comic-Con, and she kind of vaguely was like, oh, yeah, I remember, no. So, you only get one chance with me. If you don't remember who I am, then it's not worth it.
Well, here's the thing, though, Nick, is that, you know, you're in California studying, I think studying the drought and how to fix it, right? Is that what you're doing over there?
There's no way of fixing it.
Well, here's how you fix it. Get like 3 million to 4 million people move away.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
we're using Skype, and your profile picture on Skype has you and Evangeline Lilly. And when I first glanced at it, I was like, oh, well, who's this new hot girl that that Nick has? And I'm like, oh, nope, Evangeline Lilly. No, yeah. It's not.
How do you get Nick's? I'm only getting your picture, Jay.
Are you not even seeing Nick's?
No, I'm only getting you. Well, Nicholas just comes up. It just says, just has the generic Skype thing.
Oh, really?
The round circle and the shoulder. I guess it's shoulders.
Yeah, I'm getting Nick cheek to cheek with Evangeline Lilly.
I'm not getting that. I'm getting ripped off.
It's the same for you, Jack. I just got your name and then the symbol. So,
Jack doesn't know how to put a profile picture.
That's actually my picture because you know.
Oh,
there's no hair. Yes, that's me. That is me.
That's an artist's rendition. we had the return of Game of Thrones, Sunday, 2 days ago, in the fifth season. So a lot of exciting stuff happening. Nick, do you want to take us to kind of what happened last season that led up to this premiere for season 5?
Ooh, okay. Let's see here. It ended with... yeah.
That's my best Joffrey.
If you want to start... If you start early, yeah, you have the Purple Wedding, which is Joffrey's death. Yes. And then, of course, Cersei always always assumes it's her brother, Tyrion, that killed him.
Yep.
So the whole trial of that, and then eventually Tyrion is let loose by his brother Jaime,
mm-hmm.
and goes to confront his father and sees his ex-lover, Shay, in bed, who naturally she slept with Tywin. Tywin gets mad, finds his father on the privy, and shoots and kills him. And then is snuck away on a boat by Varys to lands unknown.
Yep.
You forgot he gave her a hug goodbye. He hugged her a little bit.
He did apologize. So,
yeah.
So there was that. Now, was that accurate to the book? Did that whole thing play out in the book? Because it was a big like revenge moment for...
No, it didn't. It kind of didn't make sense in a way, because in the book, Tyrion, it's mentioned in season one that Tyrion has been married once before,
mm-hmm.
to a prostitute, and then his father paid many men to sleep with her in order for Tyrion to leave her.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jaime lets him out of the cell, he tells Tyrion this truth that she really wasn't a prostitute. She really did love him, but his father just didn't like him. And so he goes up to confront his father about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he goes up there, he does kill Shay. That's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's asking his father, where did you send my first wife? And when he says whore, he's referring to his first wife, not Shay. And so he's saying, don't call her that. And then he says, what? And he said, don't call her that. If you call her that again, you'll be sorry. And then he lets it slip, calls her that again. Then he shoots and kills him.
Gotcha.
And so in the next book, but they're not doing it because they didn't do it in the show. He goes around and just constantly asks people, like, where do whores go? Because that's where his father says, you know, wherever whores go, that's what is the line. Is like, she went wherever whores go. And so he shoots him. And then so he asks everyone, where do whores actually go? So it's just kind of a funny thing in the book, but they're not going to do it in the show.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay. There's
go ahead.
Well, I was saying there's also another conspiracy theory around the whole death of Tywin that it's not been proven and it's not for sure, but a lot of people believe that he was actually already dying before Tyrion killed him.
What?
Yeah, because if you go to the trial when he's talking about all the poisons things that were taken from his chamber. One of them happens to be something, it's a slow poisoning that turns your bowels into liquid and you basically die of dysentery.
Ooh.
And so a lot of people think that it actually was the guy from Dorne, I'm going blank, sorry. He poisoned Tywin before, and he was actually slowly dying because he expected to fight the mountain when he arrived in King's Landing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you see him on the toilet. That makes sense. Like, why is he in the toilet in the middle of the night? Most people just assume you got to go when you got to go. But a lot of people think he was actually dying of being poisoned.
Interesting.
And another thing in the book, when you'll see later in this episode from this season, you'll see in the book, it reeks of stench, where Cersei and Jaime cannot stand to be in the room with him because that's what they think, is that he's just rotting from the inside.
Wow.
So, but like I said, the show's doing it in a different way, but it's close enough to where most people, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Can we talk about that fight between the mountain and what is that guy's name? Do we know? Or we forget it? One of my favorite parts of this...
Oberyn.
Just an amazing scene from last season, and was just so disappointed that, you know, George R.R. pulled a George R.R. and, you know, ended up dying. Just really was heartbreaking for me.
Well, it's extremely heartbreaking because a lot of these characters are very interesting, but if you study a character and see their motivations, like with Ygritte or anyone else, after they fulfill it, there's no point in them living. And so those are the safe ones that are most likely going to die. And so with Oberyn, what would happen after he would have gotten his vengeance? Like, there's no other reason for him to keep living. So let's just have it exciting and kill him off. So that's the way he thinks about telling stories,
I guess. But did he really win? Because, I mean, the guy is still alive and seems to be being turned into a zombie or something, or whatever those alchemists are doing. But, you know, did he really win?
No, because he died before the mountain died. Exactly. So
George R.R. didn't play it the way he usually plays it there, I guess you could say. But whatever. Right. I'm not gonna pull hairs over it. But anyway, going into this season, exciting stuff. We have HBO Now for the first time, which could be a game changer to where people don't have to, you know, have a cable service and they can pay for it. And it streamed perfectly fine. That's what we used in our house, was the HBO Now to test it out, having used Jack's HBO Go login for a while. But
for a while.
Forever.
Okay, there you go.
So it worked well. No downtime, like some people were expecting, which was really nice.
How much is it for?
It's $14.99 a month, and not to be a advertiser here for it, but that's what Game of Thrones is on, and it's kind of an interesting angle, especially because I hear that tons of viewership is from illegally downloading. Have you guys heard about that?
Oh yeah,
I have heard of it. Yes.
Most illegally downloaded show in history so far. So,
wow!
But the $14.95 is normal. That's what you pay on Time Warner or Comcast for it, with addition with your package. So basically, they're charging the same rate as if you had it through your cable company. So,
and what's nice too is you get all of the catalog all at the same time. So if you want to catch up on Game of Thrones, you have it all there for you. Not to mention the countless other great HBO shows that you have available, plus all the movies that they put on there.
Game of Thrones sponsored by HBO.
Well, you know, the HBO people, the lawyers, just probably listen to these podcasts. So I just want to make sure, you know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, HBO, you're good. You're good, man. We support you. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But anywho, without further ado, why don't we get into the Season 5 premiere recap. You guys ready?
Sure. Yes.
All right, here we go. Nick, take it away.
All right, well, for some of you who, like me, you like to watch the opening credits because they're slightly different. Just wanted to start off the two new things we see. But first, we see the Eyrie, or the Veil, which is where Sansa and Littlefinger are currently. And then we see a brand new Winterfell that's no longer burning.
Yes, with, that's interesting.
Yeah, with a House Bolton symbol on it instead of the Dire Wolf of Winterfell.
Yep.
With the Flaying Man symbol. So that clearly now the Boltons are in charge and the Wardens of the North, no longer Starks, are in control. And then we go over to Essos, where we see Pentos, the city where Dany was first introduced to us in Season 1. And we also see an expanded Meereen, which is the town or the city that Dany is now ruling over. And that is the opening credits.
You know, you get so in depth. I just listen to the song. It's one of those shows I do not fast forward through the theme song.
It is fun to see though the little changes they do to the map. Do they do that as like just because there's just so much stuff in the books, is a nice way to kind of add a little bit more of that texture to it?
Yeah, I think it's one. It gives you a clue to the locations you're going to see in this episode, and then two, it's also a point of reference to say, hey, this city is over here, this city is over here, versus, like, you know, if you don't have a map, you don't know where these people are.
Sure.
So it's just it's a nice little way of saying Winterfell's up here, Dany's over here, King's Landing is down here. So it makes sense to put it in there.
Yeah, there's two ways you can do it. You can do it that way or the Indiana Jones way and have the little red line going between places whenever.
The plane going. Cool.
You call him Dr. Jones, lady.
Oh, man. So, yes. Yes, great intro. And then where do we start out the season?
The first thing we see is two little girls walking through the mud. And for a lot of people, it was confusing, but it's actually the show's first flashback.
Is that the first one? Wow.
The first one, yeah.
Is it flashback a lot in the books, or is it...
No, it's... Well, the flashbacks aren't never really flashbacks. They're always just stories told by a character and their point of view of, like, okay, do you remember this or that? But you actually have, we've never seen an actual scene take place in the past.
Okay.
So we see two little girls walking through the mud in their fancy dresses, entering into a, look like a really miserable looking hut. And it's Cersei is a child along with a friend, and they meet a witch or a fortune teller, and her name is Maggie the Frog, which is in the book. to set up a little, the little subtle differences is that in the book there's three little girls instead of two. And basically what has happened prior to them walking in is that there was a attorney, a knight's attorney joust at the city of Lannisport during the Mad King's time. And she, Cersei saw Rhaegar Targaryen, who was the future king of Westeros. And she was so, had a, such a hard crush with him, she wanted Tywin to marry her to him. So he promised his little girl that, because he was Hand of the King. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, I'll work it out and I'll make this happen for you. So she wanted to go to the fortune teller just to see if her dad's promise was true. Mm-hmm. So she goes.
Is it true that Cersei has never changed her hairstyle?
It's true, yeah. It's just the blonde, yeah. It's just, same, I have no idea.
Same part. And I will put a disclaimer here. Probably should have said it earlier, but we'll say it now. Nick's knowledge of the books will not be used to spoil anything in the future. It's going to be in pure referential standpoints.
It's true. That's true.
So don't worry. Yeah. Not going to spoil you.
Yeah. To the listeners out there, yeah, my goal is not to spoil you. I won't talk about anything that's going to happen. I'm just trying to make the scenes that you're watching a little bit more enjoyable. That's the only thing.
Because we don't want to know either.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier.
But that's really good to know. It kind of gives a bit more backstory to that scene.
Yes.
Now, and the gentleman that you talked about that she wanted to be married to, is that the one that Khal Drogo poured the gold over his head, or is that a different person?
No, that's Dany's brother. Rhaegar Targaryen is he was the Mad King's son, who Robert Baratheon kills on the Triton in order to win the rebellion and take over the kingdom.
Gotcha. So who are Dany and her brother in relation to him?
Dany and her brother are Viserys. Are the Mad King's younger two children.
Gotcha.
They had Rhaegar, who was way older than them two, and then Viserys, and then Dany basically is born after the rebellion or during the rebellion.
Gotcha. And, okay. Cool. Good to know.
Yeah. So they enter the tent, wake up the witch, and let's see here. She wants to know her future. The queen, the witch actually says, give me some of your blood. She licks her blood and says, you won't like the answers. Yeah. She won't like the answers. And she basically tells her that she will be queen, but not the queen through Rhaegar, through someone else. And she also offers her three prophecies, but she only gives her the answer to one, which is strange. Because in the book, you hear all three. But I'm assuming it's because they don't want the viewers to be spoiled on or be predicting what will happen later on in the series.
Gotcha.
That way she just went to that wicked laugh.
Oh, yeah. But if you want to look it up, you can. It's very easy. We'll just look up Maggie the Frog and you can find out the other two prophecies. Let's see here. So basically she finds out that the king is going to have 20 kids and she's going to have three, all with golden hair. And be shrouded in gold, which obviously we know that they're her and Jamie's children, not the king's.
Yep.
Then the other girl gets scared, runs away, and then Cersei's left there to stand. That's scene one.
Yeah, it's a great opening because we watched it with a group of our friends here. The podcast-a-thon, everybody that came out, we watched the first episode. And right away I was like, oh, it's Cersei, it's gotta be Cersei, but everyone's kind of like, oh my god, it's Cersei. It was kind of a cool opening scene to the season.
I thought it because of the hair.
Yeah,
seriously, the hair is just, she has the same hair in the back, the same braids, and I said, is that a young Cersei?
It does look like a young Cersei, but
yeah. And you can hear it like in their voices, like the arrogance of just, you know, you're not, don't be worried about my father, because he at this point is the most powerful person in the kingdom because the Mad King is not in his right
now. The other girl, is she anybody important or just somebody that's walking along with Cersei?
No, she was just somebody that's walking along. In the book, there's three girls. One of them gets scared and runs away at the very beginning. And then the other one, I'm assuming, is the other one. She actually gets her prophecy read first in the book. And she asks, who will she marry? And the witch says, you won't get married. Actually, you'll die tonight.
Wow.
And she does, and it gives weight to Cersei's prophecy to make her believe that everything that the witch said is true.
Interesting.
And I'm not going to tell you what the other two are, but it gives the motivations you can see it. If you know what the other two are, you see why Cersei is the way she is. Hmm. So
okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
So then it goes to the Lannister funeral, right?
Right. It goes to Tywin's burial, which is a fairly short scene. But you see basically Tywin laying there on his deathbed with his little fake eyes on his head.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. And you can see the paranoia in not only Cersei but in Jaime too, that their house is fading and that they're going to start really crawling and scratching to hold on to their power. And of course, Cersei naturally blames Tyrion. She hates him. She wants him dead and blames her brother, Jaime, to make things right for letting him go and to get their daughter back out of Dorne.
She's such a manipulator though. She uses Jaime. So like, and I think Jaime kind of sees it, but it just bugs me.
Well, he's in love with her.
I get it, but it's just, ugh. Yeah. So manipulative.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, the difference between this scene and the books is only that in the books, Tywin is reeking of stench, and which leads a lot of people to believe that the poison is deep within his body, rotting it, and that Cersei and Jaime can't stand to be in the room. But other than that, that's the only difference.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
And then we go on to Pentos, right?
Yes, we see the arrival of Tyrion in a little box.
Yep,
in Pentos with Varys, and it's quite funny and clever. Talking about, do you imagine what it's like taking a poop in a box? and then you have I have no idea. All I know it is like to pick up your poop and throw it overboard. So this is also slightly different than the books because Varys doesn't go to Pentos with. Tyrion to Pentos, but I think this is done just for actors' sakes because Varys isn't in early parts of the book, and so they kind of needed his character to pay an actor to go over with him. We can write you in there.
when is it revealed? Because in this, he reveals his whole Targaryen plot or his support of that. When does that get revealed to him then, or is it just not at all yet?
Varys, actually, you're always suspicious because you see him walking in the shadows in early book one talking about Dany with Illyrio from Pentos, but you're not quite sure if it's him or not. Mm-hmm. It's not revealed until the very end of A Dance with Dragons where Varys' loyalties lie. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit of a reveal early on that that Varys was in line with the Targaryens, but most people suspected it, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of that.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he wants to drink himself to death. He doesn't feel that he's a lord. He's a kinslayer, which is the worst thing you can be in Westeros. So he feels that his future is no longer.
I thought it was just being a guy that puts poop through a hole.
That too.
That's the worst thing that can happen.
Well, I mean. To him, though, he's already been accused of being a kinslayer, right? Killing the punk.
the punk. True.
Yes.
But the punk.
That punk kid. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, he's a dwarf, too, which a lot of people already look down upon him. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, I think, is part of what endears us to him as a viewer is that, people look down upon him. They think he's lesser than, but he's so intelligent and so... charismatic, that he's much greater than his stature.
He should have been king.
Yes.
If his dad was smart, that's who he would have put in charge.
Well, the thing, going back to kind of recapping last season, I think a lot of people don't know why Tywin hated him so much. A lot of people think it's because he saw so much of himself in Tyrion. He's very witty, he's very smart, but he's also everything that Tywin hates about himself, which, as you see there, he's sleeping with a whore after he told Tyrion not to do it so many times. And right. So he's a hypocrite in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah. And I mean that's a classic, sins of the father, they don't want you. Dads don't like it when you act like them.
Right? Exactly.
Believe me, I know.
What sins do I have?
But we go to the lovely Daenerys next, don't we?
We do, yes. It's a very short scene. We see the poor unsullied soldier. We see the taking down of the symbol of the old city of the slaves, the power of the slave owners. Mm-hmm. And then an unsullied soldier walking into a brothel to just get a little comfort, you know. And as he's lying there, and a nice woman, he gets his throat slit by a son of the Harpy, which is a gang that is still not quite confirmed who they are. Mm-hmm. Most people just suspect them to be ex-slave owners, the powerful people that have money and want their power back.
Yeah. At first, I thought it was her right-hand man, because they're all kind of bald and all kind of look similar.
And they're all evil. There, but people are always evil. Right?
What's that?
So you think bald people are always evil?
Not evil, just I didn't quite recognize them.
The bald guy is the guy that did it because he's the bald guy.
Exactly.
Your hate is just ridiculous.
It's not hate. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But no, it was a little shocking. It was a little, because it makes you all kind of comfortable. Like, oh, he's just snuggling. Just looking for a little spoon action, and bam.
Everyone needs a little love. Exactly.
But not with a knife to the neck.
No. So what happens after that?
That's all I have written down, actually. Because I don't remember much other than that happening, other than them showing the mask to Danny and saying that we have a new problem, basically, which is these people are killing our soldiers. What do we need to do about it? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely, there's a lot of kind of politics that seems smaller than what Danny cares about going on right now. You know, to me right now, I see she's great at the conquering part, but not so great at the ruling part.
Exactly, and a lot of these cities, that's what a lot of people, you know, it's Kerr kind of, it's one thing, exactly what you just said, it's one thing to conquer, it's another thing to rule, and to control a people, and I think this is where Dany's going to learn humility and truly how to be a good queen, not just a conqueror.
Yeah. So. And her dragons are still ticked off at her.
Absolutely.
They are upset, that's for sure.
It's heartbreaking, though. It is heartbreaking. I kind of feel for her, but how is she going to get him back in tow? Because she's going to need those dragons to...
She needs that special treat.
Well, she can't have, what, babies? Dead babies?
Well, that seems to be what they like, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going down a path I don't want to go.
Baby treats for dragons. New just, on Game of Thrones.
Just Drogo. Drogo likes the kids. Yeah.
We also learned that Daario is, because the people, the whatever that gang is, wants to bring back, what, like gladiator fights or something?
That's in the next scene.
Oh, okay, okay.
You're jumping ahead.
I'm jumping ahead. I apologize. Oh. Nick, take the lead. Take the wheel.
Oh, no worries.
Nick is take the wheel.
Okay. Okay, the next one's also another fairly short scene. It's at the wall this time, mm-hmm. and you see a Gilly, or Sam's girlfriend. Really concerned with the Night's Watch and also with Stannis being there, worried that because she's a mom that they're going to send her away from Sam. Because now Sam is basically her only family. Mm-hmm. And that's what she basically says is, Sam, don't let them send me away. And he's trying to comfort her, like, wherever you go, I go. But he can't go anywhere because he's a sworn brother of the Night's Watch.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes out.
Is it allowed to say, like, you know what, I've done my time, I think I want to, you know, be able to have sex with a woman now?
Well, the oath is, I will show father no child. So, not, I will not lie with a woman. So,
okay, all right, so that leaves you a little bit of leeway there.
Yeah, a little leeway.
There's that Clinton technicality, right?
And then, so it's an interesting story between Sam and Gilly, and we'll see how that plays out and what the show decides to do with their characters. The next thing we see is Stannis talking to Jon, wanting him to talk to Mance Rayder about bending a knee and using the Wildlings as his new army to conquer Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. I like the bastard of Winterfell better.
The bastard. Yeah, well.
Well, it's what she says.
I mean, but, you know, like, I like what Stannis is saying, though, because I mean, to take back Winterfell, I think whatever he's offering is a very reasonable, you know, thing. So I kind of see Stannis' side on this one.
Yeah, I agree. Stannis is usually a pretty reasonable guy, but the thing is about wildlings is they're going to do what they want to do, and they don't bend a knee, as Mance has said. And you have to earn the respect. You know, they don't follow crowns. They don't follow bloodlines. They follow strength. And so Stannis needs to do something if he wants that option. And that is pretty much that scene.
Mm-hmm.
The next scene we see is the Eyrie. And this is an all new stuff with the Eyrie. Everything with Sansa from now on is new, because basically her storyline was over at the end of last season in the books.
Really?
So, yeah, because she had just a couple chapters in A Feast for Crows, and then she had none in A Dance with Dragons. So this is all basically what the writers of the show want the storyline to do, not what...
So this is getting past the books then, because she's not dead in the books, right?
No, Sansa's not dead in the books.
So, but he hasn't written it yet, or at least published it.
Right. So either George R. R. Martin has either told them what he plans to do, or he just said, make it up as you go. You know the end of her storyline. As long as it meets up, it's fine. So kind of a lost thing. We know the ending. Just you can make up what you want to do on the way there.
Interesting. So I mean, because George R. R. has said he's fine with them kind of filling in where they need to fill in. How do you feel about that as a book fan, but also a fan of the TV show?
You know, I considered not watching the series, but then I've read a few columns from people who have already seen the first few episodes and said they don't feel spoiled because a lot of it still is with the book, and they're making it up. So it's not really what it could be, completely different when the book is published than what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're kind of comfortable with that. And okay. I took their word for it. So I was like, okay, I'll keep watching.
Okay.
So. But so we see poor little Lord Aaron getting his butt whooped in sword training.
That was pretty pathetic.
That's great, though.
Well, he's been, you know, sitting on his mom's lap his entire life. He's never probably picked up a sword. So, and then we see Littlefinger talking with Lord Royce. This is the second most powerful family in the Vale. Just basically Littlefinger, because he's now the protector of the Vale. He basically runs it. He wants to, he's basically instructing Lord Royce to make sure that the future, not really king, but overseer, warden of the East, to train him properly in how to do a sword. And then he receives a private note from a raven, and Sansa takes note that he looked at it and put it in his sleeve, and that's the end of that scene.
Now, are Sansa and Littlefinger, are they an item, or is she just?
No, they're, well, Littlefinger is one of my favorite characters just because he comes from nothing and he uses his brain to do everything. You have to understand Littlefinger's motivations is that he wants to see the realm burn, pretty much. He's raised from nothing. He did everything himself. He doesn't like royalty just getting things because who their father was before them. You know, he wanted to marry Catelyn, and he couldn't because he was from nothing. And so he was promised, she ended up marrying, you know, Ned Stark. And he kind of got his vengeance on Ned by betraying him. And so now that Kat's dead, he constantly, you hear him say it, you know, you look just like your mother. And I think in a way he does love Sansa, or at least he has a crush on her. But you also need to think about what are his other motivations behind this. Because he's Lord of Harrenhal. He's the protector of the Vale. And what would he gain if he did marry Sansa, potentially?
Right.
So he's always scheming about something.
Okay.
Nice.
But they're not an item. I think she still looks at him as an older guy who was friends with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is not really a good end when you think about it from a relationship standpoint.
No.
Not at all.
You're my mom's friend.
Yeah. You're older than my dad.
You're that guy.
That's right. You're older than my dad. Ugh.
But you know, this is Game of Thrones. That happens with everyone.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's all in the family. Come on.
Yeesh. Oh, man. So, where's the next scene take us?
The next scene is Brienne with – this is another all-new scene because the books also – because they did not introduce Lady Stoneheart in the show, which for you – I don't know. Should I talk about this?
Yeah.
Lady Stoneheart is a zombified version of Catelyn Stark, who was supposed to be revealed at the end of last season, but the writers decided not to bring her back.
Interesting.
And basically, Brienne was supposed to continue to work for Catelyn in a kind of a spy kind of role, but they decided not to bring her back. So all the things now with Brienne are going to be completely different. But so we see her kind of in a dilemma of what to do, and her squire just having a discussion as Littlefinger and Sansa pass nearby in a little cart.
They're always so close.
So close, but not there. Yeah. And then Sansa just asks about the note. And then, of course, Littlefinger says, oh, it's about a new marriage proposal that I've accepted. And she's like, so soon after Eliza just died, and he just kind of has a little smug grin and and says, we're going and also that he lied to Lord Royce because he said they were going to the Fingers, which is east side of the Vale, but instead they're headed west, and that they're going to go to a place where the Lannisters can't find them and have no reach. And there's only one place in Westeros where the Lannisters have no power at all. And I'm not going to say where it is, but if if you're smart enough, you'll figure it out.
There you go.
So I guess I'll have to wait.
Yeah. The next scene is with Cersei again. And the first thing you see is Margaery flirting with her little boy, Tommen. And, of course, Cersei can't stand it because – even in the prophecy, in the first scene, you see Maggie the Frog say, you'll be replaced by a new queen, a prettier queen, one that people will love, which naturally it's Margaery.
Right.
And so she can't stand it. She cannot stand that she is now second fiddle. you see the return of Kevin Lannister, who was Tywin's younger brother and is now basically the ruler of Casterly Rock.
Oh, so he's the ruler of Casterly Rock.
It falls to him because it's supposed to be Jaime's, but Jaime's in the Kingsguard and cannot own property or rule. So, and then of course Tyrion is now a Kinslayer and was never proclaimed heir. So Kevin would be traditionally be the new Lord of Casterly Rock.
But he's like a monk now or something, right, or whatever.
No, you're thinking of the little kid that was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his name's Lancel or Lionel.
Lancel. Sorry, I'm confused.
Yeah. But yeah,
they do look similar, though. they do. The actors do look similar.
All those Lannisters look alike.
That's true. Look, yeah, the blonde. But no, he's a sparrow. Lancel is a sparrow, which is kind of like a monk. You've seen it a little bit in the show, but it's not quite as dominant as in the books, where throughout the War of the Five Kings, a lot of the churches and members of the Faith of the Seven have been burned and killed and their churches burned. And a lot of these devout have taken up weapons and judgment to seek vengeance upon the unholiness of all of this.
Mm, okay.
And so that's what he is. He, I guess he felt guilty about sleeping with his aunt
he does say something about that.
Yes, he does. He confronts her in the next minute and asks for forgiveness for killing her husband and tempting her to sleep with him, even though he did none of this. It was at her command the whole time. Right. But she laughs at him about it. It's like, you're just a silly boy.
Yes.
So, but the sparrows will take an interesting role. I'm interested to see this season and how all this plays out with the way that the church and the faith will go.
Good.
Very good. Okay, the next scene, which is a little, depending on your preference, a little disturbing. You have a little male-on-male romance scene.
Hey, you know.
With Loras Tyrell, or the Knight of Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
With And then you have Marjorie interrupting them, basically. And the whole point of this scene is really just to reinforce the audience to remember that Loras is homosexual, mm-hmm. and that he has no interest in marrying Cersei. But yeah. And also that Cersei, now that Tywin is dead, no longer has to marry him.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to make some kind of maneuver to – they would love to get Cersei out of King's Landing because she's going to constantly throw roadblocks in Margaery's power.
This is my theory. I would think using him to somehow kill Cersei so then you remove her from power. That would be – my angle, if I was in Marjorie's situation.
Yeah, that would be a smart move.
But anywho, that's just me.
Yeah, we can get into crackpot theories later. I have plenty. You know. the next scene is once again Tyrion and Pentos. And like I said, there's not much to this one too, other than Varys is trying to convince Tyrion to go meet Dany. And somehow be an intelligent advisor for Dany. The difference is between this one and the book is instead of Varys, it's Illyrio, and Illyrio escorts Tyrion to the waters of the Rowan, and then they go down to Volantis. Okay.
Cool.
Any comment?
I do like how he said Tyrion says he's a coward. He says you're many things, but you're not a coward. I like that line.
No, he's not. He's one of the bravest people in the world.
He said, but he goes, you can self-pity I forget the word he uses, but I wrote down the line. I go, you're many things, but you're not a coward. I like that because he's not a coward.
No. Exactly. And I think that's why Barry saved him, not just because Jamie asked him to, but because he really does admire him. He's such a intelligent, brave person, and he doesn't let, you know, his limitations in height and strength dominate him as some people would, or feel sorry for himself.
That, I think, varies. I think he's a smart guy, and he likes feeding off another smart person. I think they have that. They work well together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's see here. The next scene is with Dany and Meereen again. And at the end of last season, you just barely heard it in like a sentence or two. But Yunkai, which is the first city that where she got the Unsullied army, mm-hmm. it had uprised by the ex slave owners as well, and they reinstituted slavery in that town. So she had sent a small army to retake the city, and you hear that them saying it was success, yeah. And they've agreed now to a joint government of ex slaves and ex slave owners. But the one request they have is that they wish to open the fighting pits because it's a tradition amongst all of this part of Essos that it's just like Olympic Games or anything else. To them, it's right. a matter of pride. But Dany sees it as vulgar and just doesn't want it to happen.
She seems to look – she's like we were saying earlier, she doesn't know how to lead. She just is
she knows how to be a conqueror.
Because she has the strength, she has the power. But
she's inspirational,
but she's having trouble. You have to give the people. It's like being a. You have to. She doesn't have the political side to her, the politician side to her.
Right.
As a leader has to have. She does. There. She's a very black and white. No, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But eventually, people like he was saying. Well, it's tradition. You'd have free people choosing to do it.
Right.
And, you know, it's as gross as it is, wouldn't fly today. But if that's what their tradition is and that's what they want to do to keep the peace, sometimes you have to do what you don't want to do. And I think that's what she's having problems with.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's just like in the movie Gladiator, you know, you see that, you know, the power is the mob, you know.
Right.
And will Dany have consequences for being an absolute ruler? Will she give in to the people? Will she let them have their voice? And that's going to be her dilemma, is that if there is a crime going on, is she judge and jury, or will she have faith in the people? And that'll
because when you give people freedom,
yeah,
they want to exercise their freedom. They don't want to be told what to do after being told what to do for so long. If that's what they want to do, you have to kind of give a little bit and let them do, give them something.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. I was against her on that one. That's just me. I said, well, if they want to do it, they want to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's just that she feels that the entertainment will be slaves upon slaves killing each other. And she sees them as her children, the same as her dragons. And she doesn't want any of them to die.
Well, I get that, but she needs to change her approach or she's not going to succeed.
Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, she's young and she's learning. So hopefully by the time she gets ready to conquer Westeros, she'll be a confident but yet sympathetic queen.
Yeah.
So.
Correct.
Let's see here. Then the last scene we have for the show is
it's back hot.
It is a hot one.
It's a hot scene.
It's a hot scene.
But
somebody had to say it. I was the older person, so I figured I'd do the old joke.
It's a dad joke. That's okay.
I figured I'd fall on the sword.
There you go. Oh.
Yeah, the last scene's at the wall, and we have Jon Snow once again desperately trying to get Mance Rayder to bend a knee, don't think of his pride, just to live. And he can still rule the wildlings, but Mance is not going to do it. Even Stannis, once again, puts it to him, you know, bend a knee and you'll be just fine. But instead he opts to be burned alive, and Jon can't take the brutality. So he, out of kindness and respect for his friend Mance, he shoots him with an arrow through the heart. And Mance Rayder is dead.
But would shoot arrow through your heart.
Would he have had the respect of the wildlings if he had bent his knee?
No.
So he was in no win situation.
Yeah, it was a no. Yeah, because he would have.
Did Stannis know that?
Stannis knew that. Because that's what I said. They only respect power, and they don't respect crowns or bloodlines. And to them, Stannis is exactly that. So why should they follow him? And if Stannis would have, they would have seen him as weak, and then they probably would have elected a new leader. So,
but to Jon Snow's point, though, isn't that better than your tribe being leaderless and being, you know, basically torn apart? Wouldn't that be a better situation?
Well, I think for Mance it would have been, just because he would have been alive. But I think now, by Mance being
martyred, essentially.
Yeah, martyred. Yeah, like that. They'll still stick together as a one people and live by his example instead of possibly fractioning and doing what they'd always done, which is just fight amongst themselves. But this is slightly different. I mean, the scene takes place exactly like the book, and there is a twist, but I'm not sure if it will be revealed in the show. But we'll see as it progresses.
All right. Very good. Very good.
Excellent.
So yeah, an excellent show. I'm curious to see what the ramifications of Jon Snow shooting him with the arrow are, because I feel like Stannis is not going to like that. That's an inkling, but I don't know.
I think Stannis needs him.
I think so, too. He needs somebody to kind of lead an army to take back over Winterfell.
Right. He needs him. So he's going to be mad. He go, you bastard Jon Snow, you've made me mad. But I think that might be the end of it, you know. Little slap on the wrist.
But in that case, is that really like an exclamatory remark when it's more just a literal remark? Well, yes, I am a bastard. Thank you.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought a great season premiere. Lot of great content in there. And excited for this season. What did you guys think overall?
I enjoyed it. Wasn't the best episode ever, but good start to a season.
Yeah, I agree. It's not the best episode, but it sets up the initial storyline's very nice and neat, so you know the initial motivations of where these characters are going this season. So,
it's like any the episode is like, oh wait, don't stop. Oh, you're stopping. No.
Yeah, it felt very abrupt, didn't it? Like I was like, oh wow, it's already over. So I wasn't prepared for that ending.
So in terms of it's obvious that the books kind of follow a different timeline, a different storyline, because some parts of the story are going beyond where the books are at and some are still within the books. But given the pace of George R. R. Martin, is there two books left that he wants to write?
All right, now he's saying two. You have The Winds of Winter, which hopefully will be out next year.
So he's going to skip Comic-Con so he can write it, correct? I think that's what I've heard.
Yes, I think that he has to have last thing I read about is that I think July he has to have 3/4 of the book, or I think already in to the publisher. And I think he's basically just finishing up this year. And so I'm hoping it'll be out in spring of next year. And then after that, the next book should be titled A Dream of Spring. And that should be the ending. But he's even said that it's all in the writing. You know, if I end up getting in that book and it keeps going, then there could be another one. So
that bastard. There
we go. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe he's under pressure because he went after Lindelof for his ending of Lost. So maybe he keeps going, if I just keep extending it, suddenly I'm 90, 95.
Well,
it's not my fault I died and there was no ending.
I know if I was him, because like a lot of people, there's a really popular theory out there, and a lot of people have already guessed from putting pieces together about it. And if I was him, I would totally change that theory now just to mess with people. Like, you know what? You thought it was this. I'm going to change it, you know?
Is it the one I talked to you about last year? If you remember?
I don't remember. I've had a few beers since then.
The one about Jon Snow.
Yeah, it's probably that one. Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought you said no, it's out there. I said, oh wow, okay.
Yeah, that one's.
Because I didn't see it the first time I watched it. And then the second time, when I was doing a rewatch, I went, huh, wait, oh god, it's right in front of me. I can't believe I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, there's in the book. There's a lot more. If you read into it, you can figure out things. Like any book, there's always more detail. And then like even with at the end of season two, the visions in the House of the Undying, there's a lot more in the book of things that she sees. And there, like you see the Red Wedding, for example, in the House of the Undying. But if you saw that, it would be a total spoiler for, but in the book, you don't think about it that way. So okay. It's.
All right. Well, sounds good.
Now, normally, this next section would be listener feedback, but since this is the first Game of Thrones podcast we've done in several years, there is none yet. But for next week, you can send your calls to 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
It's 206-309-0311.
Calling anytime.
Also, you can send an email to jandjack@gmail.com. So that's jandjack@gmail.com. But yeah, send in feedback for next week's Game of Thrones podcast. As you can already tell, it has a lot more, you know, credentials and credibility now that we're in the
company. It sure does.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Hopefully I haven't annoyed too many of you people.
And now it is time for Jack's crackpot.
No. Theory. I don't do crackpot theories with Game of Thrones.
So is it Nick's crackpot theory of the week?
Yeah, I don't do it because I'm not doing it for Game of Thrones. Because people know what's going to happen, so it's just like
Nick, idiot. Jack's being a pansy. Do you want to go for it?
Well, the only thing I would feel safe doing a crackpot theory on would just be things that are brand new. So,
There you go. I'm a coward.
Yeah, because so it's either going to have to be with Sansa or Brienne, and so I'm thinking with Brienne. I don't think it'll happen this season, but I think Brienne's motivation from now on, because it's not going with the books, is that she's after to kill Stannis from now on, because he ultimately killed Renly in season two, the shadow that stabbed him, who she loved. So I think her motivation will turn to that, where it's, you know, Brienne will be the one who kills Stannis.
That's a good one.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, that is for this week's Game of Thrones podcast with Jay, Jack, and Nick. We'll see you guys next week with the second episode in the fifth season. Do we know that this one was called The Wars to Come? Next week is called The House of Black and
White. I thought it was Winter is Coming.
No, The Wars to Come.
Man, it's so close.
Next week is The House of Black and White.
Should be a good one.
Should be a good one.
So this next episode is not in color? Not in color?
No, the House of the Black and White is a it's one of the many religions in Braavos. And okay. It's a house. So you will see it.
Oh, well,
then. All right. Cool.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.